Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
Sarah's in the tent laughing. She's like, I'm old as dirt, man. I ain't having no baby. And listen to what the Lord says. Genesis 8:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? How about that? You make a lot of mistakes and you trust God. And Abraham says God counted him as righteous. And you still make more mistakes. And God comes to you and says, is anything too hard for me?
Your walk with God is going to include plenty of stumbles and bad decisions, just like it did for Abraham. Today, Pastor Jim reminds you that even when you make mistakes, God still counts you as righteous when you place your trust in Him. He looks past your failures, steps into your impossible situation, and asks if there's anything too difficult for Him to handle on your behalf. Doubting yourself makes sense when you see your limitations, but God meets that doubt with a question. Is anything too hard for me? Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 8 as he continues his message, The Clear Path to Freedom.
Do you know a lot of these guys had the entire Old Testament memorized? I mean, some of us don't even remember what we had for breakfast, right? They had the Old Testament memorized, and Jesus says, oh, it's in your brain, but guess where it's not? It's not in your heart. Verse 38, I speak what I have seen with my Father, the idea is in eternity, and you do what you have seen and heard, or you have seen, some verses say heard, with your Father. Now, wait a minute, what did he just say? He just said we have different fathers. Now, some of them are going, I know what he's talking about. Others are going, what's he talking about? Right? So Jesus is agreeing with them, yes, you have a unique role in God's plan, but as captives to sin, you still need the new birth. Do you see that religion is not going to guarantee you anything? You could be born into a religious family. Great, fine, whatever. Right? But you need the new birth, as we saw in John chapter 3. And he says, if you were a spiritual child of Abraham, okay, you would not want to kill me. But what's the problem? The problem is the Word of God, the mission of God, the person of Jesus Christ is not part of them. It's not in you, he's saying. Jeremiah 9:26, in the second part of the verse, says this. God's talking about the nations who don't worship him. And he says, for all these nations are uncircumcised. That means they were not part of God's people, okay? And that's why they look down on those people as uncircumcised Philistines and stuff like that. They look down on those people. But then look what he says next. And all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. He's basically saying, you're in a worse place than they are. I mean, they don't know much or anything. But you have everything you need to know to make the right decision. But you're not. You need to think very, very carefully about where you stand with God. You can read more about that and the circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit in Galatians and Romans. Jesus' statement, my word has or finds no place in you, tells us that religious privilege guarantees us nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, it makes you more accountable. The problem is not that Abraham, who lived 2,000 years ago, can you imagine this? They're talking about some guy who's not Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago. He says, that's not the problem. You are his descendants. I acknowledge that. The problem is we have a different father. Verse 39 to 41, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. If you were like Abraham, you would do what he did. But now you seek to kill me, or you're trying to kill me, or looking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds or the works of your father. Still hasn't divulged the name of daddy, has he? Okay, it's a coming. So right now, a lot of them are starting to figure out what he's talking about. And listen to what they say to him. Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication." Now, some of you are new to the Bible, you know, I don't know what that word means. Sexual immorality. "We have one Father, God." So they're listening and they're like, "All right, Jesus, let's be clear on this. All right, let me, you know, it's a funny thing when people want to correct God, right? Okay. Abraham is our father." And Jesus replies, "Well, okay, maybe physically, but if he was really your father, you'd be one spiritually." We call it like father, like son, right? Okay. So Jesus is saying, your behavior is nothing like Abraham's. Nothing like Abraham's. Implying that Jesus was there, right? You can read about a little bit of Romans 4, but your behavior is nothing like God the Father. Now, Abraham, right, called Abram at the beginning, did not understand everything God was doing. Okay, do you understand everything God is doing? No. You got to be kidding me. You know, this is where being a pastor is just a ridiculous job. You know, you try to bring comfort to people, right? And they're like, "Oh, thank you so much. It was so nice to talk to you." And you get off the phone and you're like, "God, what, are you kidding me? Like, this is, I don't get it. Honestly, a lot of the stuff that goes on, I don't get it. I don't get it." Now, I know in the long run, it's going to be fine. But in the temporary, it's like, man, this is just so hard. Now, I realize God is building in us a lot of stuff. He's conforming us into the image of Christ. And you can't deny that. I mean, for the last 3 years of his life, well, he had all these people want to kill him, right? At least most of us don't have people want to kill us. Maybe some Sundays I do. But anyway, right? And so, but yet, Abraham did not know what God was doing. But what did he do? He trusted God. He trusted God. And that's a big thing, loved ones, that God wants you to trust him when you do not know what's going on. To say, "God, I know you have a big plan, and I may understand it in this life, but I may not understand it till the next life, but I'm willing to trust you through this." Two verses from Abraham. You might want to jot these down because this will get you through the whole next week, maybe. Genesis 15:6. "And he," Abraham, "believed in the Lord, and he," the Lord, "accounted it," or credited it to him, "for righteousness." Now, do you know what that is? That's the gospel before the law of Moses. Okay? So when people talk about the law of Moses, you go, "No, we had the gospel first." He trusted God. He had no idea what was going on. God said to him, "Go over there." And he's like, "Okay. Why am I going over there?" "Just go, Mo. Just go, Abraham." Sorry, not Moses, Abraham. "Just go, Abe." Right? And he's like, "Okay." And he went. Now, did Abraham make a lot of mistakes? He did. He did. But God still counted him as righteous. Then, years later, him and his wife, God promised them a child, a son, and they're old, right? And so there's this, guys come to visit Abraham and Sarah, and we believe it's what we call a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they appear to Abraham, and they promise him a son, right? They're like 190 or something like that, right? And so Sarah's in the tent laughing. She's like, "I'm old as dirt, man. I ain't having no baby. And listen to what the Lord says. Genesis 8:14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" How about that? You make a lot of mistakes, and you trust God. And Abraham says, God counted him as righteous. And you still make more mistakes. And God comes to you and says, "Is anything too hard for me?" Again, it might not be in this life, but for sure it will be in the next. So Jesus says in verse 41, you do the deeds of your father, okay? Saying that they have a different father, okay? And this is perhaps near the top of the list, if not the top of the list, of the most offensive things they could ever say, Jesus could ever say to them. Like, we have a different father. I say God's my father, so if God's my father and we have a different father, you don't have the same father I do. Now, they imply, and I'm going to get on the soapbox just for 2 minutes, maybe three. They imply Jesus is a child of sexual immorality. Okay? I mean, they all knew the rumors about Mary. Okay? I mean, people are like, well, we know the story of Mary or whatever. But just imagine they didn't. They didn't. And, you know, they're like, she's like, oh, I was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And people would be like, okay, sure, sure. You know, I did youth ministry for 25-something years, like 26 years, whatever. And not at this church, but at two churches I was at, actually. We had teenage girls in the youth group get pregnant, right? And you know, it was a difficult situation for sure. It was difficult for their families, right? But I got to be honest with you. And again, now I'm on the soapbox. Our attitude towards unwed mothers and their children stinks. A lot of the attitude of the church stinks. First off, where's the guy? Where's the, I mean, like, oh, you should give them $20 a week to raise a kid. How many of you can raise a kid on $20 a week? If you can, I want to invest in whatever you're investing in, right? Because you can't do it. And even the way you see the way the courts treat, right, single moms and their kids and stuff like that, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's pathetic, okay? And historically, so much of the church and church leaders have been absolutely pathetic in this realm, okay? Please don't do that here, because you and I will not have the most pleasant of conversations, right? And if you want to come to me and talk to me, that's fine. I've had that discussion with a number of people, and I have one sentence that I will challenge you on, and you'll be like, okay, I understand your point, and I'm not going to say what it is, okay? But we just, I don't get it why the guy gets away with murder, the guy gets away with everything, and everything falls upon the woman, and then to make these accusations towards Jesus, even if it was true, which it's not, right? It's just wrong. It's just wrong. All right, I'm off the soapbox. It could be something else, but it seems to me it's the only comeback they have. It's the only thing they can say. Verse 42 to 44. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, he's not, you would love me. They don't. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Some verses saying, I am here, nor have I come of myself. He's not saying, I didn't bring myself here. God sent me here, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Why don't you understand what I'm talking about? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You know, in other words, some versions say, you're not able to bear or hear my word. You ready? You are of your father, the devil. And a whole group of religious leaders in the temple, he just told them, your father is the devil. Now, what would you do? I would turn to the guy next to me and go, call 911. Tell him to bring a lot of ambulances, right? Because there could be heart attacks all over this place, right? And they're going to try and kill him. This is not a good situation, okay? And the desires of your father you want to do, like father, like son, you want to do what your father wants to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources or his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of it. Some versions call him the father of lies. That goes all the way back to what? The book of Genesis, early on. So Jesus is very clear to these guys. Okay, let me tell you why you don't love me. You don't love me, he says, because you're separated from God. You have absolutely zero commitment to the God who loves you. You want everything from him, but you don't want to offer anything to him. Okay? Because of that, verse 43, he says, you can't listen to a word I say, or you can't bear what I say. Back in chapter 5, when he's talking about that, he's talking about belief, he's talking about how that's how you move from spiritual death to spiritual life. You've got to believe in what Jesus says. Now, this is not limited to these people, okay? Let's be just totally honest here. Totally honest here, okay? Many Christians believe what they want to believe, don't they? And guess what? Not even Jesus can change their mind. Well, is that really what he meant? Okay, your father's the devil. Can you unpack that for me, Jesus? Okay. Su padre es el diablo. Okay, does that help? Does that help? Okay, some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you do now. Okay? I mean, that's just like, this is crazy. In other words, what is he saying? You are evil people. I know it. Heaven knows it. My father knows it. And if you don't stop it, it will not turn out good for you. Like your father, you desire to be a murderer. Like your father, you're against the truth. Like your father, you want to speak lies to people. And so, how angry do you think these religious leaders are? They cannot kill him fast enough. This is how we know God's in control. Because they cannot kill him fast enough, and we still got a long way to go. Sadly, and this is something for all of us loved ones, they don't look in the mirror to see what behavior reveals about their faith or their lack of faith. In the Gospel of John, okay, and throughout the Gospel writings, okay, right? For God to be your father, you have to experience the new birth. You have to. Those who repent and believe, turn to God, put their trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And the Apostle John makes the case that those who don't receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord cannot claim that God is their father. He said, you can't say he is because he's not. He's not. So we're not born into the family of God until we are adopted into the family of God through the born-again experience. Verse 45 through 47, we're getting there. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? Now, there could be a pause there. And if I tell you, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, or he's saying you do not listen, because you are not of God. So Jesus says to them, the reason you don't listen to me is because I tell you the truth, and you don't want to hear the truth, okay? You would rather believe the father of lies and not Jesus. Now, again, we have to really search our own hearts. The proud heart of humanity denies the truth even when it comes from God himself. There's just certain times we don't want to listen to it. In essence, that's what tells us the story of who our Father really is and explains our unbelief. Yet, and if you're not a follower of Jesus, please listen to what I'm about to say. It's also a question that can guide you into the kingdom of heaven. Simply by turning to God and putting your trust in Jesus. Many of you know that when I became a follower of Jesus, this was my prayer. I am so sorry. I couldn't even get that over my lips. I am so sorry. I remember telling that to a pastor one time. And you know what he said to me? dude, that is a beautiful prayer. And he said, and I bet God did a marvelous work in your life. I said, you've got no idea. It was crazy. If you're not a follower of Jesus, please think about that. Please think that to follow Jesus, to listen to what Jesus says and to agree to it, right, can put you into the Father's house. And Jesus gives the opportunity for them to fire back at them. Verse 46 at the beginning, he says, which of you convicts me of sin? Which of you convicts me of sin? Now, we think, well, if Jesus didn't sin, that's what we think, right? But that's not what they thought. They thought he sinned. He was like, well, can you prove it? Yeah, remember? They said he was what? A Sabbath breaker. Do you remember that? They said that you, okay, being a mere man, make yourself equal out to God. What they don't see is, and this is where I have to only just say to God, please, would you please open the eyes of all of us right now? What they don't see is, okay, that the sinless one of God, God become a man, is standing right in front of them. And they are rejecting him. The only logical answer is what Jesus said at the end, because you are not of God. And yet, Jesus came to save their souls too. A lot of people say, well, I've done a lot of bad things. Really? Did you ever kill Jesus? In effect, we all did, but that's another story for another day. Okay? Yet tucked in the beginning of verse 47 is words of encouragement. He who is of God hears God's word. You hear what I'm saying? And you'll go away from today and you want to make it right with me. So what did Jesus tell us today to encourage every follower of Jesus? He told us, I'm just going to read these verses, verse 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What also did we hear in verse 36? Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. At the beginning, we asked this simple question, and this is the question we're all going to leave with today. Was their faith genuine? Please ask that question of yourself today. Is my faith genuine? Jesus is very clear. True freedom comes through personally knowing him, not through religion, not through our heritage, okay, but through the cross of Christ and putting our trust in him. And it's not something limited to this life. That's the beauty of it. The clear path to freedom, which we've been talking about today, is a freedom for all eternity. And if you are not a follower of Jesus, let me give you the simple way to get started. Jesus said this, you are to repent and believe. We always say, repent, turn to God. You're walking that way and God's this way. You turn around and you walk to God. Okay? You confess your sins, including your unbelief. You look up at that cross and you say, that should have been me. That should have been me, but he did that for me. And you say, Jesus, I put the totality of my trust in you. And then, living in dependence upon God and serving God, that, my friends, is what it means to be free indeed. And let God carry that and you and me and all of us all the way into eternity.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. Our hope and prayer is that all of our listeners would grow into committed followers of Jesus Christ. And we are overjoyed to play whatever role we can in helping you mature in your faith. Would you like to know more about us? Maybe you would like to pass on this message to a friend or family member. If so, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. Maybe you have a question or need some guidance. We don't want to replace your pastor, but we are here to help. Our email address is changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. You may be surprised to know how excited Pastor Jim and the Changed by Love radio team are to hear from you. In fact, it's common for Pastor Jim to pass on your encouragement to the congregation, since we consider all of our listeners part of our family. Would you prayerfully consider financially partnering with us so we can continue bringing Pastor Jim's simple teaching to you each day? Some people give monthly, some periodically, and some others a one-time gift. Every gift helps further God's kingdom, and we all play an important role in that. Simply go to our website at changedbyloveradio.org and click the donate button. Our goal is to simply share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to you, your friends, your family, and your community. We would love to hear from you, and please let us know what station you hear Changed by Love Radio on. We pray you stay close to Jesus and that you will be changed by love. God bless you.